Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Good evening. Thank you for that. It's a tremendous privilege for me to be here this evening and to participate in this service. Brian and I have been friends for a long time, and Brian, I deeply am grateful for you and for your friendship. Joe, I've looked up to you from the time I started ministry. I respect and admire and love the way that you think about leadership and the way you think about pastoral ministry. I want to say thank you to the session of this church, to the Tennessee Valley Presbytery, and particularly to Brian and Joe for inviting me to be part of this service. Let me pray before we begin. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. What a wonderful evening for you as a church. I hope you realize how good God has been to you. God has been very good to give you a great leader and pastor in Joe. And we look back this evening and we remember his faithfulness to you and giving you Joe to pastor you for so many years. But we also look forward in anticipation to someone you know very well, Brian Salter. We look forward to his leadership. I know Joe's going to be around in the midst of this transition, in the midst of this change, but it's still transition. It's still change. I am the pastor of a church in Birmingham, and I started there 2 years ago and replaced a guy who had been there for 30 years. And so I know about transition. I know about change. And wise people, wiser than me, will tell you anytime you undergo any sort of transition, because transition is hard, it can be scary, it's not easy, that you need to remember in those times, remember who you are. In other words, in the midst of transition, it's not the time to pull out the trick play. It's the time to hand the ball to the running back and run straight up the middle. And so for you as a church tonight, you need to remember who God's called the church to be. And so I want to remind you of that this evening. We're going to look at this passage. We're going to look at a leader by the name of Naaman. And I'm simply this evening going to remind you of what you already know. In the midst of change and transition, from one leader to the next, remember and continue to be, number one, a place of grace. Secondly, remember and continue to be a place of ordinary things. And thirdly, remember to be a place of good news, not good advice. So let's look at number one, a place of grace. Look at verse one there. You'll see how Naaman's described. Look at the words used to describe him: a commander of the army, a great man, a mighty man of valor. And so Naaman, what we see right from the get-go in this passage is that he's incredibly accomplished, that he's extremely wealthy, that he is successful, and he's sophisticated. He was a successful military general, and he had everything going for him. Let me put it in our terms. This is a guy who went to a great high school, valedictorian of that high school, prom king, quarterback of the football team, gets a presidential scholarship to the University of Georgia, played QB for the Dogs, graduated, went on to get a master's in an Ivy League school, and is now a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And to top it all off, he's a grill master. And he cooks on the Big Green egg, the best ribs that you've ever put in your mouth. That's Naaman. He's that guy. The guy that is absolutely killing it at life. But look at verse 1 and how it ends. You get this little phrase tacked on to the end, all these great things, but he was a leper. You see, he was sick. He was sick with leprosy. He had this nasty skin disease that caused his body parts to literally fall apart and to rot away. Naaman, as great as he was a dead man walking. He had everything going for him, but his life was literally falling apart. You see, what Naaman didn't realize is that he was even sicker on the inside than he was on the outside, because his heart didn't work properly. He had leprosy of the heart. And friends, Naaman is a very graphic picture of every single one of us in this room this evening, including myself. You live on Lookout Mountain. And by global standards, everyone in here is accomplished. You're all successful. And by global standards, you're all considered wealthy. And yet, the Bible says we all got a big problem, that we are sick on the inside. The Bible says that we have leprosy of the heart that causes our heart not to work properly. It causes us to love ourselves more than we love God and other people. It causes us to seek our own glory rather than seeking the glory of God and others. Now, Ricky Jones is a former RUF campus minister, and he's a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he tells this story about the time, and the pastors hate this, but a real prominent member of his church that was really involved, was a leader, but Ricky had walked through some things with this gentleman. He had fallen into sin and been restored, and he comes to Ricky and he says, you know, I've got a job transfer, we're leaving at the end of the year, and I want, here's the city that we're moving to, here are the churches that we're interested in, and would you mind calling these churches ahead of time and talking to the pastor and telling them my story and telling them about my sin? I want them to hear it and know it before they meet me. Ricky was taken back by this man's openness and desire for vulnerability. And so he asked him, when did all this change? How did you go from someone who lived a secret life, who was closed off, to someone who's passionate about being known? And he says, I know exactly when it happened. It's when you took me before the leaders of the church to confess my sin. And I walked into the leaders and into the session, and I talked about things that I was deeply ashamed of. And I expected scorn, and I expected to be yelled at. And instead, they wept with me and prayed with me. And he said, after the meeting was over, I expected coldness and shunning. But instead, every single person came over to me and gave me a hug. And he said, you know what? Those hugs changed me. Because in the midst of my shame, I realized that though I was ashamed of myself, that Jesus was not ashamed of me. And that changed my life. Lookout Mountain Prez. That's what God wants of you. He wants you to be a community where people outside these walls on this mountain can bring their real shame and the things that they're deeply ashamed of, instead of getting scorned, someone weeps with them and prays with them. And instead of coldness, someone hugs them. I love Tim Keller. He says that the church is to be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for the saints. In other words, the church is not a country club. Rather, it is a place where everyone, and Joe and Brian, that includes you, where everyone desperately needs to be healed by Jesus. A place where even on your best day, someone had to die for you. That even on your best day, you desperately need Jesus. Friends, never forget that you are here for the mountain. The mountain is not here for you. Secondly, a place of ordinary things. Remember and continue to be a place of ordinary things. Look at verse 7. The king basically says that Naaman's too messed up, I can't do anything. So verses 8 and 9, he goes to Elisha, the prophet of God, and he won't even see him face to face. Verse 10, Naaman goes to Israel and is told that his leprosy would be healed if he does one simple thing, wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Think about this. Naaman is offered healing. Just go wash. That sounds like a great deal to me. But look at verse 11. He went away angry. He says, surely I expected someone to come out and wave their hand over me and cure me. But he's deeply offended. Why is he deeply offended? Look at verse 12. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters? Better than all the waters of Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean? And he goes away in a rage. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that the Jordan River isn't special. That the Jordan River's too plain, it's too ordinary. I know bigger rivers and more popular rivers than this. You see, this guy wanted healing, but he was offering healing, but it wasn't special enough. It wasn't exciting enough and spectacular enough. And we learned something here. And it's that healing and change happens in simple, ordinary places and in simple, ordinary ways. And Naaman hates this. And he walks away in a rage. Well, friends, like Naaman, we often think that change and transformation is found in the radical, don't we? We think it's got to be spectacular. And so we oftentimes spend our entire Christian life chasing the next emotional experience or the next emotional or intense high, spiritually speaking. Are those things bad? Absolutely not. But what this passage shows us is what the Bible shows us over and over and over again, and that is that real change and transformation. It happens and is found in what the church has been doing for 2,000 years. Word, sacrament, and prayer. Remember that change happens, friends, when you find and stay near the three fires. Get near the bonfire of corporate worship. Get near the campfire of community. and the candle of personal word in prayer. Why? Because those are the places that Jesus hangs out. And we desperately need Jesus. Do those things sound spectacular? Do they sound exciting? Those things, I can assure you, will get zero likes on Instagram. But it is what God has given the Christian to change and to grow in the Christian life. In church, never forget that. Lastly, remember to be a place of good news. Continue to be a place of good news. So not only was this too ordinary, but it was too easy. Look at verse 5. He goes and he's taken all of his silver and his gold. What is he doing? Well, you see what Naaman is saying. I'm strong. I deserve this. I'm the commander of the army. Do you know who I am? Look at verse 13. My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? The actual reading of this is he has asked you to do no great thing. And so the feel of this passage is saying, why won't you do this again? This sounds awesome. Do this. Just jump in the river and be cleansed. But he's furious. He's insulted. Because not only was it too ordinary, it's too easy. It doesn't make sense to him. Again, he's saying, do you know who I am? Anyone can get in the river and wash. A child can do that. An older person can do that. Are you telling me that I am equal to them? I love the Jesus Storybook Bible here. All Naaman needed was nothing. And it was the one thing that Naaman did not have. He understands salvation, you see, as something that he earns. And again, we're like Naaman here, aren't we? We don't believe that we can simply come to God with our sickness and our weakness and our neediness, but instead, we in our own ways bring our silver and our gold before God, so to speak, and we say, do you love me now? Will you love me now? I deserve this. But friends, that's not how God works. God relates to his people by grace. God gives us a gospel that is for anyone. No matter who you are this evening, or no matter what you've done or how bad you think you are, the gospel is for everyone. And that's the reason why it's called the good news. Because anyone can be washed. All you've got to do is get in the river and let Jesus cleanse you. Let Jesus wash you. From beginning to end, salvation is his doing. It's completely free. It doesn't cost you a dime. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. I'll end it in verse 15. So he gets in the water, and his life is totally flipped upside down. I love verse 15. Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. This is a very radical shift in his outlook. He would have worshipped many gods. And now look at what he says. There is no God in the universe but the God of the Bible. He sees the world completely differently after being cleansed. My prayer for Lookout Mountain is that when people enter this building, they will encounter Christ and him crucified. They will get the good news of the gospel, not good advice. They will see Jesus lifted high, and they will encounter him, and they will hear how much he loves them, and it will change their life. So just like it changed Naaman's life, and they'll start to see their life differently, and their work differently, and their friendships differently, and their sexuality, and their marriages, and their singleness. Why? Because they've met Jesus. That's my prayer for you. Continue to be the church that God has called you to be. Let's pray and let's ask God to continue to do that and make that a reality. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to this church. You have been so good to her over the years. I pray that you would continue to make this church a place of grace, a place that loves ordinary things, and a place that loves the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray now for Joe and Brian, and I pray for this congregation that you would give them a sense of the seriousness of the vows that they are about to take. Would you also give them the grace to fulfill these vows? Help them to always remember that this is your church. This is not their church. that you have more invested here than anyone because you have the blood of your Son invested here. I ask that you would give this church a deep unity and a deep oneness as they move into this new season of ministry. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.